So we'll start a new mafter here.
All right.
I found something very interesting here in Rav Adler's book. I never knew it existed, or if I did, I've long forgotten it. He calls it Tzirufim Pshut, and again, you know, his titles are a little bit ambiguous for me, very complicated. But I'm going to try to give my own take on this. My own twist on this.
Where are you?
So this would start on page Mem Beis. Yes. And I just want to see if by chance I have... Oh, Alan, we're about to start.
Hey there.
How are you doing?
All right, it sounds like you look like you're all tired out from Pesach.
Yeah.
Okay.
I slept this morning because I was up changing.
Putting away all that stuff.
Right? Yeah.
A couple of big helpers.
We were done by 10 o'clock. So, by way of introduction to this new mafteach, what we're talking about is a complex halacha, which means A plus B. And there are different elements that join together. Now, we're not talking about the Rogachava, although... You know, some might argue that Rogachov would be very relevant and helpful here about Harkava Mizgit and Harkava Shechnit. So we'll see as we go along if it'll help us and shed a light on this.
He uses the word Mizugit once or Mizgit once in the...
Yes, yes. Anybody who listens to any of my lectures on any topic will always pick up on this shia somewhere I introduce it. So I wrote an article, an essay here, in a book called Malei Asar. And today's shiur is not going to be based on that. That I'll give you for tomorrow, if you'd like to photocopy it. And this is called Determining a Complex Halacha. Let me try to explain. You have two elements that join together to form a halacha. Sometimes the chiddush is that you need both elements. You know, you would have thought that you only need one element. For example, I'm going to try to argue that in the case of gerushin, it's not enough to give the get, but the process of gerushin begins with writing the get. And that's going to be an uphill battle to try to prove that writing the get itself is part of the very maisa gerushin. Sometimes it's a given that there are two elements, and then the question becomes, which is primary and which is secondary? Or perhaps they're both equal. In other occasions, what we want to do is, we want to figure out if there is a relationship between two different actions or time periods. For example, I have a whole discussion here about, and again, we're going to get into all of these, I'm just saying it by way of introduction, of the Sholosh Regalim. Is each regel an entity unto itself, or do they all three form one entity, which is a complex halacha made up of three regalim? For example, in the case of the Korban HaOmer, which is brought on the 16th of Nisan, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem, which is brought on Chag HaShavuos, we would have said ostensibly that there's no relationship between these two, and they don't form one complex halacha. And I claim that the argument could be made that they form one entity, and therefore they become a complex halacha. In the case of ksiva, for example, which is a halacha, of course, on Shabbos, we're going to talk about different elements in ksiva. Or in the case of makkah v'patish, different elements that make up makkah v'patish. In the case of a lav hanitak le'esei, for example, there's one mandiyom in the Gemara says that bitul le'esei is part of the averis halav. And therefore, you only get malchus if A, you violate the law, and B, you mavatal the essay. So that becomes a complex halacha. In the case of tefillah, for example, we have a complex halacha because you have the maisa tefillah, which is amira, and then you have the kavana shebelev, which the Rambam claims is an integral part, indispensable part of tefillah. So you have these two elements that form one whole. So I have here an essay which hopefully we'll be able to go through. I just, just touching on a few different elements. And that's, I call it in Hebrew, it's called Halacha Murkevet. Milashon Harkava. We've discussed the word Harkava on many occasions. And what we're trying to do is determine if we have Halacha Murkevet, and if we do, what are the different elements and how do they combine? One is primary and one is secondary, and so forth and so on. So that I'm going to leave leave with you here, if you'd like to, you know, take a picture of it or whatever. And this is where it begins. Okay, then? Fine. Now, what we want to study today is this particular chapter in Rabbi Adler's book, which he calls Tzirufim Pshutim. And honestly, I don't know exactly what he means by Tzirufim Pshutim, but I would try to present this chapter as, in a sense, an introduction to what I have here for you, which is the complex halacha. And what he suggests is the following, that in many cases, you have two elements that join together, and one element, in a sense, becomes integrated into the other element. That's what he calls tziruf. Tziruf means an integration. Now, if as a result of this integration, let's say you have an element which we'll call secondary. Now, again, that's a very heavy, loaded word. But what I mean in this case, just to give you one example, would be a derabanan. And if we compare a derabanan to a d'oraisa, then we relegate the derabanan to a secondary role. It's sort of inferior in its status to a d'oraisa. But now we take the derabanan and we integrate it into the d'oraisa. Once we integrate it, it's very possible that that derabanan now becomes elevated to the status of a d'oraisa. And that's what Rav Adler is going to try to prove. I'll just mention to you first a list of the sugyas that he has here. First, he wants to talk about Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, which we would classify as tefillah. Now, assuming, again, we're getting into heavy issues here, but assuming that tefillah is d'rabbanon, not like the Rambam Shita, like the Ramban Shita, or even perhaps within the framework of the Rambam Shita, we could argue that the Nusach HaTefillah, in other words, a particular recitation of Tefillah is only d'rabbanon, even according to the Rambam. The Rambam might just be saying that the Kiyum Tefillah is d'oraisa. What happens when I take Zichronos, Malchus, Zichronos, Shofros, and I integrate it into Shofar? And it would be a pretty radical conclusion to come to that now Malchus, Zichronos, Shofros as a Kiyum Tefillah d'Rabbanan becomes upgraded to a d'oraisa like Shofar itself. Okay, that's what we want to think about. The second sugi we want to think about is Kiddush. Kiddush is a bracha which I guess you could classify it or categorize it in a classical sense as a birchas shevach v'odoya, in which we praise Hashem for granting us kedushas hazman. Now, is there a halacha merkevus here? Is there a complex halacha? Well, let's introduce the first bracha of kiddush. That's borei pri hagofen. Classically, that should be classified as what? Birchas ha-nenim. Is it possible that we have a harkava here? And that somehow, once we add the Birchas Hanenim to the Birchas Shevach V'Odoya, the Birchas Hanenim, instead of remaining independent as such, as the Birchas Hanenim, does it become perhaps sucked into this framework, you know, comes swallowed into this larger framework called Kiddush, and now the halachas that govern Kiddush might apply to Birchas Hanenim. In this case, the issue is not so much derabanan versus d'oraisa, although one could make a claim that kiddush is d'oraisa, but let's assume that kiddush is derabanan, at least as a kfiyus alayayin. Maybe it could be kiddush is d'oraisa in tefillah, in Arabic, I don't know. I don't want to get into that now. But if I grant the Birchas Hanenim a special status as being an integral part of Kiddush, new halachas apply. For example, you would never make a Birchas Hanenim if you have no intention of drinking from the kos. The exception might be the case of Kiddush, where even if you're not going to drink from the kos, you would still recite the Birchas Hanenim. That's pretty fascinating. The next sugya that he wants to attack, which you might find here on page Mem Vav is the sugya of Kriyas HaHalel on Leil Pesach. We have a greater framework which is called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Torah says we got it to Labincha and Chayiv on the Liros Asatzmo. Could it be that perhaps within the framework of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Halel, instead of becoming a Kiyum of Halel and remaining as such, it becomes incorporated into this greater whole and it takes on a new status as part and parcel of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Once again, one could argue that that might shift from a Dorabbanan to a Doraisa, because Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is clearly a mitzvah Doraisa, and yet the mitzvah of Halel is clearly a mitzvah Dorabbanan, but maybe now that Halel is integrated into the framework of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, it gets upgraded to the status of a Doraisa. And finally, his last sugya that he wants to do is Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon now touches on many different Moadim, and the link is going to be Yalev Yavo. And this is really a subject matter that we've exhausted in the past about integrating what we call B'chol Yom V'Yom Titein Tein Lo Mein Birchosov, that we have a chiyuv to be Meshabeach the Yom, to mention the day, acknowledge the Kedushas HaYom within a larger framework of Tefillah, in this case in Birkas HaMazon. And now we have a complex halacha. We've got Tefillah per se, you know, the nitty gritty. And now we have a mitzvah of Haskaras HaYom. Does the mitzvah of Haskaras HaYom take on new regulations and a new status once it's integrated into the Kiyum of Tefillah? Those are some of the sugyas that he wants to approach. So let's begin with the mitzvah of shofar. Now, what is the mitzvah of shofar? I'm not meaning to ask whether it's tkiyah or shmiyah, you know, the classical chakira about the mitzvah of shofar. But what I mean to ask is the mitzvah of shofar simply shofar, or is there some other element here? The Torah says not only Yom Truah Yelachem, but also Zichron Truah Yelachem. It seems to indicate the pasuk that there's another element here in shofar that might play an important role. The Yerushalmi is of the opinion that these two psukim refer to two different situations. If Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah overlaps with Shabbos, then it's Zichron Truah. And instead of blowing the shofar, we're going to have a Zichron shofar, whatever that means. On the other hand, when it's a regular weekday, then the pasuk is Yom Truah, and then the mitzvah is blowing the shofar, literally. There's no Zichron element here. That's the sheet of the Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, on the other hand, these two psukim seem to be integrated into one whole. For example, the Gemara claims that even if mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana, so for example, I could eat matzah without kavana and kabiyotze, but when it comes to shofar, although I can be mekayim the mitzvah of Yom Truah Yelachem, I may forfeit an integral part of the mitzvah of Zichron Truah Yelachem, because Zichron Truah Yelachem requires kavana, and in the absence thereof, I don't fulfill that element of this mitzvah. But now we have a sugya in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And there the Gemara postulates that within the context of Zichron Truah, we have to recite Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. These are three sections that form the very fabric or the essence of the Musaf Shmon Esrei Rosh Hashanah. And each one of these sections in itself is made up of three sections. So three parts and three sections. What are the three parts of Malchios? And the same is true for Zichronos and Shofros. Number one, we have a statement of Emuna, and we declare that this is a day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Then number two, the second part is that we look around at the world and we see that the world is not yet at the point of Malchios. And finally, we end with a tefillah and a bakasha that Hashem should become a Melech. We acknowledge at the beginning that God is a Melech, and that's one of the fundamentals of our faith. We also believe that, unfortunately, the world has not accepted upon themselves Hashem as a Melech. And then finally, we ask Hashem to become the Melech. You know, that potential should realize itself. And that repeats itself in Zichronos and Shofros. But the Gemara postulates that at the end of each one of these sections, meaning Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, we have to blow the shofar. And here's a big machlokus. We've shown him exactly how this works. Is it a reference only to what we call the Shtila Shmona Esrei? Does it apply even to Chazar Sashatz? Does it apply only to Chazar Sashatz and not to the Shtila Shmona Esrei? And as a result of this controversy, many different minhagim have arisen over the course of time. Now, the simple understanding of this integration between reciting Malchus Zichronos Shofros and blowing the shofar, according to all Rishonim, except for one, there's always got to be that exceptional one, is that Malchus Zichronos Shofros, insofar as it's part of a kiyum of tefillah, is the Rabbanon. Shofar, on the other hand, is Doraisa. In fact, we could be mekayim the mitzvah of shofar doraisa by hearing teisha kolos b'tkios d'miyushav, which is even before the Shmona Esrei at all. So we haven't mentioned or uttered a word about Malchus Zichronos Shofros, and yet we fulfilled our obligation doraisa of Yom Trua Yelachem. So we've heard the Trua three times over. That was embellished by a tkiyah lefanel, a pshuta lachrea. Everything is fine. Therefore, if the Gemara postulates that you want to integrate the shofar into the fabric of the Musaf Shmon Esrei, of Malchus Zichronos Shofros, that's fine. That's the Rabbanon, but that's not Doraisa. Again, if assuming he hasn't heard yet Tkios to be Yushov, then when he hears the Tkios at the end of each one of the three sections, he fulfills his obligation vis-a-vis shofar Doraisa. But the Malchus Zichronos Shofros themselves remain an independent element called Tefillah, and that's the Rabbanon. That's according to all Rishonim until we see Rashi. Now, where is this Rashi that we're talking about? That Rashi becomes the exception to the rule. So if you take a look on page Mem Beis, on the bottom right column, all the way on the bottom of the page on the right, he says, Ayin Rashi b'parshas Emor. So this is not Rashi on Shas, but Rashi on Chumash. In Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet. And Rashi says that when the Torah says about Rosh Hashanah that it's Zichron Trua, Shabbos on Zichron Trua, that's a reference to Malchus Zichronos Shofros. Now this is amazing, because Rashi's interpreting a pasuk in Chumash. Malchus Zichronos Shofros, according to all Rishonim, is clearly a kiyum of tefillah, and yet Rashi's taking that tefillah and he's putting it into the pasuk of Zichron Trua. The Ramban jumps on Rashi. He pounces upon him and rips him to shreds. He says, how can you possibly postulate that this mitzvah d'oraisa of Zichron Trua requires Malchus Zichronos and Shofros? He has a sugya in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Dalet that says the exact opposite. And what's the case? The case is that a man finds himself with two options on Rosh Hashanah. There are two cities, so to speak, Shtei Ayaros. In one case, they're blowing the shofar, and in the other case, they are mevarchim, and they're blessing and reciting all the Malchus Zichronos Shofros, but they're not blowing the shofar. And the Gemara establishes, holchim lemakom shetokim, v'ein holchim lemakom shemevarchim. For sure you want to be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar, and even if it means that you have to forego the mitzvah d'rabbanon of Malchus Zichronos Shofros, but in the case of a d'oraisa and a d'rabbanon, certainly we opt for the d'oraisa and we drop the d'rabbanon. So when we talk about d'oraisas and d'rabbanons, one thing is clear: if you have an either-or situation and you can't do both, then you opt for the d'oraisa. That's pshita. Nobody would question that. So the Gemara says, what was this Brisa trying to teach me? Pshita ha-doraisa ha-drabanon. Lo tzricha di'af al-gav de'ha vadai ve'ha safek. What does this mean? Says the Ramban, what does it mean ha vadai and ha safek? He says the following. Zichron trua b'psuke dizichronos b'psuke shofros lizkar lehem akedis yitzchak. Shekarev tachas ha'aryo. Rashi says that when it says in the Torah Zichron Trua, it's referring to the psukim of Zichronos and Shofros and so forth. Vayitzorech harav lahavi gam psukim malchios, Rashi only mentions explicitly Zichronos, but the same would be true in terms of Malchios. Lo Yitochen, it's not possible that the Pasuk is mandating the recitation of Zichronos and Shofros and omitting Malchios. Ukvar darshu osam mi pasuk vayelchem lezikaron lifnei Hashem elokeichem shein tamid lomer ani Hashem elokeichem ma tamid lomer ani Hashem elokeichem elaze binyan av kol mokvah shata omer zichronos ata somech lahem es hamalchios kide isa b'toras konim ubimesechta rosh shana v'kol ze asmachta bial. Says the Ramban, the Gemara establishes based on a different pasuk that whenever you chayv in zichronos, you have to add Malchios. So Rashi should have mentioned Malchios. However, Rashi has no right, he's not justified in interpreting the pasuk Zichron Trua with regard to Shofar as referring to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, because all this is just a smachta. Ubefurash Amru, Holchim lemakom shetokim, v'ein holchim lemakom shemavarchim. Pshita, Hada oraisa, says the Gemara, in other words, here's the problem. You have one community where you're absolutely sure they'll blow the shofar, but they're going to omit Malchus and Chronos shofars. You know, back in the day, they didn't have Machzorim printed, and therefore that was quite common. You know, you had to be a great scholar and at least have a Rav who would know how to formulate Malchus Chodesh Shofar on behalf of the community. So that community will offer you the mitzvah of Shofar minus Malchus Chronos and Shofars. The other community will offer you a suffix as far as Shofar is concerned, meaning you're not sure if they'll blow the Shofar or not, but they'll definitely recite Malchus Chronos Shofars. They may have a Shofar, maybe they don't have access to a Shofar. This is quite common even today, by the way. Back in the army barracks, you know, you didn't always have a shofar. Today already, you know, the Rabbanut guarantees that every no matter where you're stuck, you know, you're thrown at and the little thing, you'll have a shofar. But there were many situations where the Chayalim found themselves without a shofar. They were able to recite Malchus Chronos Shofars, but they didn't know if they'd have a shofar. So according to Rashi, if the Torah mandates Malchus Chronos Shofars as a Kiyum Doraisa, then, well, I have one Vadai Shofar, I have one Malchus Chronos Shofros Vadai with a Suffolk Shofar. So here, one could have argued, perhaps, let's just learn the sugya without Rashi, okay, and then we'll get back to Rashi. One could have argued in this case that, you know what, at least you have a Suffolk Shofar. The shofar will be embellished with Malchus Chronos Shofros. Maybe that's better, and I should opt for that, giving up on a Vadei shofar without Malchus Chronos Shofros. Kamashmul, no. What's the final maskot of the sugya? Shofros, meaning hearing the shofar, is Doraisa, and Malchus Chronos Shofros is only Dirabbanan. So that if I have on a Doraisa level a Vadai versus a Suffolk, then I definitely want to go to hear the Shofar, which is Doraisa, even though the Shofar won't be embellished by the Derabbanan of Malchus Chronos and Shofros. Says Ramban, here you see clearly that Shofar is Doraisa, Malchus Chronos and Shofros is only Derabbanan. That's why I have to opt for the Vadai Doraisa, even if I give up on the embellishment of Malchus Chronos Shofars, because I'm only left with a Suffolk Doraisa of Shofar. Rashi is in trouble, because Rashi holds that the mitzvah of Malchus Chronos Shofars is Doraisa. So therefore, if I had Malchus Chronos Shofars Vadai, and Shofar Vadai, and each one is definitely missing the other option, I would be in a stalemate situation. I have the one Doraisa of Yom Trua Yelachem to hear the Shofar. I have another Doraisa of Zichron Trua Yelachem to recite the Malchus Chronos Shofars. So I don't know. You know, now I have to figure out what rule will govern where I should choose. But if together with the Malchus Chronos Shofars I have a Suffolk Shofar as well, that should surely tip the scale in favor of that Ayara that has Malchus Chronos Shofros. Why? Because there I have a Vadei Doraisa of Zichron Trua. I have a Suffolk Doraisa of Yom Trua. Is in such a case, I would rather opt for the vadai plus suffik than the other vadai of shofar. Why then, asks the Ramban, according to Rashi, does the Gemara conclude, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that I'm chayev to go to the city that has a vadai shofar? Question is clear. Oh. So this brings us back to our original hakir about the complex halacha. We have a combination of malchus, zichronos, and shofros together with the blowing of the shofar. The Ramban understands that those two elements remain independent, separate. And therefore, one is the Rabbanon, because tefillah is the Rabbanon, and one is the Oraisa, because shofar is the Oraisa. The only hava mina was that since it's a suffix shofar, maybe a suffix Oraisa together with a vadi de Rabbanon should outweigh a vadi de Oraisa without any de Rabbanon. But Lamaskana, obviously, we're going to go for the city that has a vadi de Oraisa, the vadi shofar. So the Ramban understands from his perspective that shofar and Malchus Zichronos and shofar remain two separate independent elements. What does Rashi hold? So the Ramban falsely accuses Rashi of holding that Malchus Zichronos and shofar in and of itself per se is Doraisa. No, that's not Rashi's shita. Rashi's shita is... Rashi agrees fundamentally to the Rabban. Malchus Zichronos Shofar per se, in and of itself, is the Rabbanon. Like any tefillah is the Rabbanon. But what Rashi understood in the pasuk in the Torah that says Zichron Trua is that if you integrate the Malchus Zichronos Shofar into the shofar, then the Malchus Zichronos Shofar gets upgraded to the level of a Doraisa. And if that be the case, then the Gemara has a really good argument over here, because there's a suffix in one city if they'll blow the shofar, if they have access to a shofar, if they will not. If they will have access to the shofar, then the mitzvah of shofar will be fulfilled in its most complete, perfect way, not because Malchus Zichronos Shofar as a rabbinic introduction is going to add another kiyum here, but rather because Malchus Zichronos Shofar now becomes elevated, upgraded to the status of a Doraisa. But there's a suffix. Maybe they won't have the shofar. And on the side that they won't have the shofar, they're left with Malchus Zichronos Shofar as an independent element unto itself, which is only the Rabbanon. On the other hand, the other city has a Vadei Shofar. So the Maskana Sasugya is that even though you'd have a, if city number one, we'll call it city Aleph, does get a shofar, they'll have the perfect mitzvah of shofar, which will be the integration of Yom Truah and Zichron Truah. But nevertheless, since there's a suffix, in which case they might not have the Yom Truah Doraisa, the other city has a Vada Yom Truah, go to that city to hear the shofar, and be Mekayim the Vadai of Yom Truah Yilachem.
But what if you already were Yotze in the city that had the Rabbanon, and then you have the opportunity to go
to both
the other one?
Oh, so then the question is, where would he go first? But definitely he would want to go to both cities.
No, at the time he only had a choice to go to the Rabbanon city. There was no.
Oh, and he mistakenly went to that city.
No, he went to the Rabbanon city, and he was Mekayim the Mitzvah.
But that's not what we... If he would have asked us, we would have told him to go to the other city.
Yeah, but he
oh, yeah. But in the end, he went ahead.
You know, Mekayim the Mitzvah to Rabbanon.
Correct.
Now, then, for whatever reason, he ended up...
But did he hear shofar or not?
That's he heard shofar.
Oh, so then he's finished.
But he's finished.
I mean, if I heard the shofar, I could go to another shul and hear another shofar, but there's no point to that. Unless you're saying, I don't know if he blew properly in the first thing.
No, what I'm trying to understand now is that when he goes to the second city, now he has a chance to be Mekayim, the mitzvah tefillah, Doraisa, because they have shofar Doraisa.
Wait, I thought you said he heard shofar in the first city.
He heard shofar. No, he didn't. No, he didn't hear shofar.
Oh, okay, okay. So okay. Let's backtrack. Okay. Okay. I didn't have the case.
Oh, he did not. Sorry, he did not hear shofar.
So he went to one city and he heard Malchi Zecholus and shofar.
That's
so he's Makayim and Mitzvah Derabbanan. Even according to Rashi, it's only Derabbanan.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Right. Now he goes to the second city
and
he hears shofar. So should he daven over again in order to become Makayim the Tefillah D'Oraisa rather than the
Derabbanan? Correct. But I wouldn't call it tefillah d'oraisa because tefillah always remains the rabbanon. But now, the hakamah mizugit, maybe here's where the rugged shop would help us, to integrate yom trua with zichron trua to have the complete kiyum of the mitzvah of shofar.
Right. Okay, so now you would have to...
And here would be a fascinating question as far as the bracha is concerned. That's where I think I'd be excited about Alan's Hecha Timtza. He already recited... but he didn't hear shofar, so he hasn't recited the bracha. What would be a mitzius? Okay, I don't have a case. I'm sorry. I was getting excited about this. But definitely he would... I have a case. What happens if he heard shofar in city number one, but they didn't have malchus, zechoros, and shofars? Now he comes to city number two, and they're going to integrate shofar with malchus, zechoros, and shofars. Would he make another bracha? Meaning... Now that we've established, according to Rashi, that the Torah mandates you to integrate Malchus, Zichron, and Shofar with the mitzvah of Shofar, does that mean that we have a whole new mitzvah, so to speak?
It requires a bracha.
Meaning, yeah, and then we require... Let me formulate it this way. Probably. Yeah, this is already beyond what we're discussing today, meaning... It's not beyond, but I mean it's beyond the actual hakira, the structure that we're trying to indicate. Do we say that after Rashi integrates the Malchios, etc., with Shofar, that becomes a new Kiyum, or no? The basic Kiyum, even according to Rashi, he's Mekayim with the Shofar. It's only an embellishment of the Kiyum. But again, it's very tricky here, because I don't want to use the word embellishment, because that's going to remind me of a sugya we learned right before Pesach, which is called Heder Mitzvah. And I don't want to go down that road. Because Heder Mitzvah comes under Zekeli Mi'anveim. Here we're talking about the Parsha of Shofar. The only question is, do I view these two elements of Shofar, even when they're integrated, as an emergence of a brand new Kiyum that would require Bracha? Or do I say no? He has already in his back pocket, he's discharged his duty as far as the Iker Kiyum. And therefore, even though the Torah itself, according to the Rashi Shita, requires him to hear to recite Malchus, Zechoros, Shofar together with the Shofar, but nevertheless, that requirement would not necessitate a new bracha or justify a new bracha because the basic kiyum he already had. Let me see if I can give you an example.
Well, an example would be like if you David Bechidus at home. And now you come to a minion.
Right, no, I'm saying what I'm looking for is an example. Let's assume, here would be an example. But you have to know a lot to figure out whether this is correct, whether my premise is correct, in the Rambam at least. Nanuim in Halel, in the Rambam, might be Doraisa. One thing I can guarantee you, it's part of the mitzvah of Lulav. Whether it's the Rabbanan or the Rice, I can't guarantee you at this particular moment in time. But if you don't mind, just for argument's sake, what would be, if I assume premise number one, that Nanuim, according to the Rambam, is a Doraisa Kiyum that's integral to Lulav? However, Mida'ad Bei Nafik Bei, you could be Yotzi the mitzvah of Lulav without Nanuim. What would be if a person didn't have the option of doing Nanuim? He recited the bracha, he was Yotzei the mitzvah of Lulav, now he has Nanuim. He gets the option, the opportunity of Nanuim, would he make another bracha? Maybe that's not a good example. But again, we have to find other examples where the Torah itself requires, mandates, within the context of that mitzvah, another pu'ula, another action, and he went ahead and he made the bracha on the basic action. Now he's mandated to add the other action. Would that change the mitzvah in such a radical way that Panim Chadosh is Bolik and he would need a new bracha? Okay, so let's leave that on the table for now. Again, what I want to focus your attention on is the following. The machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban is the following. In a sense, the Ramban is what I call very conservative. It's pshita, meaning this is the way I would understand it if not for Rashi. And that is that any derivation of from the Torah of reciting, of requirement to recite Zichronos, is only an asmachta bi'alma. It fits into the general universal category of tefillah. The Rabbanan established in this case that the tefillah should be integrated into the shofar, the fabric of a mitzvah d'oraisa. And very often that's exactly what the Rabbanan do. They add a chiyuv to embellish a d'oraisa. It's a tag on. But it always remains a separate independent kiyum d'rabbanan. That's the Ramban. And the Ramban in a very classical sort of way applies that yardstick to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Therefore, if I have a suffix about shofar in a particular city, I got to get myself over to the city where there's a Vaday shofar. The Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros is a nice d'rabbanan when I know that I fulfilled and discharged my duty on a d'oraisa level. So I have to get myself over to that city that's definitely going to be blowing shofar. Rashi is the more radical chiddush here. Because what Rashi does is, he drops the asmachta concept and replaces it with a drasha gemura d'oraisa, that when Chazal understood that Zichronos mean reciting psukim and paragraphs that declare, you know, this day and its special nature, that is a Torah mandate. That's the first radical chiddush of Rashi. But that in and of itself is fine. You know, the fact that Rashi disagrees with Ramban about what Ramban thinks is an asmachta, and Rashi calls it a doraisa, hayudvar me'olam, that doesn't shake my feathers, you know. But what does shake my feathers is how to reconcile Rashi with the sugya in Rosh Hashanah. Because the sugya in Rosh Hashanah says that clearly if you have a choice between Malchus, Zichronos, Shofar in City A and Shofar in City B, you opt for City B to hear the Shofar. Now once Rashi has upgraded Malchus, Zichronos, Shofar to a Doraisa level, my high, my ilmi, this mitzvah of Yom Shua, maybe ilmi mitzvah of Zichron Shua. They're both Doraisas. I don't know how to gauge that. And to boot, the fact that in the city that they're reciting Malchus Chushos is a possibility that they will obtain a shofar and blow the shofar. Why then does the Gemara tell me that I opt for the city where I'll definitely hear the shofar? So here's where we get to the second radical chiddush of Rashi. Rashi understands that the Ramban is correct. Fundamentally, Malchus Chushos as a kiyum, as an expression of tefillah, is the Rabbanan, and it's always the Rabbanan. The Chiddush of Rashi in making Zichron Trua into a Drosha Gemura D'Oraisa is that if and when I integrate the Zichronos into the Shofar, then the Zichronos becomes a D'Oraisa. Once the Malchus Zichronos Shofar is not able to attach itself to the blowing of the Shofar, because I simply don't have a Shofar, then even Rashi agrees it remains the Rabbanan. So it means that Malchus Zichronos of Shofros, according to Rashi, if you ask Rashi whether to categorize it as a Doraisa or not, there's a very complex answer to that question. It all is contingent. If he blows the Shofar and the Malchus Zichronos of Shofros culminates with Shofar, is then integrated into one whole mitzvah, then the Malchus Zichronos of Shofros is a Kiyum Doraisa. If, on the other hand, the Malchus Zichronos of Shofros is left independent and cannot be attached to the Shofar, I simply don't have a Shofar, then in that case, it is a Derabbanan. So Rashi doesn't have a flat answer to the question of do we define Malchus Zichronos as Doraisa or Derabbanan? It's all dependent. If he integrates into the shofar, it becomes d'oraisa. If he doesn't integrate it into the shofar, it becomes the rabbanan. Now we swing back to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and everything fits perfectly into place. The Gemara now is pressed into believing that he should go to the city that'll definitely recite Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, because then he gets that kiyum d'oraisa. And the Gemara rejects that premise. Why? Because maybe they won't have access to a shofar. In which case, the Malchus Zichronos Shofros remains a separate independent kiyum d'rabbanan. Obviously, therefore, he has to go and opt for the city that's going to be Mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar. So again, you'll ask me, how could Rashi reconcile the fact that Malchi is the Kohanim's shofar is Doraisa with the fact that the Gemara says you have to apt for the city that has a shofar? The answer is because if the city that's reciting Malchi is the Kohanim's doesn't have a shofar, then even Rashi agrees that the Malchi is the Kohanim's shofar is Derabbanan. But we have here, just to summarize, and then the floor is yours, a beautiful example within the framework of Rashi Shita of a complex halacha where one element is introduced into an integration to a whole, and that whole, which becomes the primary element, now has a hashpah. It has an impact. It almost like it's like a kinyan meshicha, and it pulls the derabbanan and elevates it to a doraisa.
This one is just a simple. So it's a bigger picture question. If Rashi didn't halt from all this, the Rav Adler did, Rashi would have a problem with the Gemara.
Correct.
Yeah. So the question is, why are we assuming the Rav Adler understood Rashi better than the Ramban understood Rashi? Maybe the Ramban's right. Right?
Well,
the
Ramban
didn't figure this out.
You're right, Yechiel. At the end of the day, any chiddush that you say in a Rishon remains a chiddush. And it means that, you know, it's a very brilliant, hopefully, and cogent attempt at making sense out of a Rishon, but you can never guarantee that that's what Rashi had in mind. At the end of the day, Rashi says a few words. Let's just read the Rashi again. Rashi says that when it says Zichron Shrua, it's Amiras, Malchi, Zichronus, and Shofros. That's the end of the Rashi. It's one of the shortest Rashis in the whole Chumash. And now we have an entire page on this Rashi. But why? I mean, why? You know, chidushim are nice, but what motivates a person, or shall I say, what justifies chidushim? Chidushim are not justified simply because they're chidushim. You know, I know people who like to hit you with chidushim, you know, just for the sake of a chiddush. That's not it. What we're trying to do is reconcile Rashi with the Gemara. If you have another reconciliation, that's even better.
You know, Ramban himself didn't offer this as a reconciliation.
Correct. So. Correct. Because again, from the Ramban's perspective, you can't take a Derabbanan and integrate it into a framework of a Doraisa, therefore elevate it to a status of a Kiyum Doraisa.
But he didn't even think Rashi could have said that, or he would have offered it.
So correct.
It
wasn't on his radar screen.
I was saying maybe the Ramban thought there was something wrong with the whole premise of elevating the Ramban.
Absolutely. But I think if Rav Adler was here, he's an old buddy of mine, I haven't seen him in many years, because I haven't been to Muncie in zillions years. I don't know if he's still in Muncie, I don't know. But he's a Muncie boy. And if he was here, I think what he would say is that the weight of the evidence is something that we can appreciate only after we see a lot of material. In other words, if we can convince ourselves that not only in this sugya is it applicable, but it applies to other sugyas, then you begin to see it's not just chidushim, but rather there's a method of learning here. There's a derech halimud that repeats itself over and over. Mm-hmm.
But that would, it seems to me that there's a little bit of a problem maybe in that the difference between Rosh Hashanah that falls on Yimei Chol and Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos. Well, we won't blow the shofar because of the gzeira.
Right.
So
even Rashi would agree, according to this thesis, that it's only the Rabbanan.
He's going
to
say it's the Rabbanan, but the whole zichron that we do is from Rashi is learned from the pasuk.
No, but that pasuk is telling you to integrate zichron with Yom Teruah.
So that, but
not like the Yerushalmi. Okay. The Yerushalmi has zichron Teruah as a separate independent mitzvah.
Correct.
But now we're saying that the pasuk of Zichron Shu is addressing a Yom Chol, yeah, and telling me that it's not enough to blow the shofar, but you need the Zichron Shu together with the shofar. But now we're on a Shabbos, and yeah, Rabbah made a gzera that we can't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Right. What Rabbah did was he undermined the mitzvah of shofar, which he's allowed to do b'shevi altas. That's the sugin yavamis. And now what we're left with is purely a derabbanan of Malchi Zichron Shofros. That's like the case of the city that's going to recite Malchi Zichron Shofros, but who knows if they'll blow the shofar? That's only derabbanan. I'm not going to opt for that city. In the case of Rabbah, Gzeirah Derabbah on Shabbos, we have no choice but to forego the mitzvah of shofar doraisa for the sake of what are we left with? Malchi Zichron Shofros.
But Rashi would not say that is the key of Gerais.
No. Then we're stuck with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Again, as Yechiel pointed out very well, the Ramban didn't see it in this light. But we're trying to make sense out of Rashi. Now, here, he wants to prove Rashi's shita from a different sugya in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daf Zayin, and this is on page Mem Gil on the right side, on the bottom, Nischu lefanei mayim b'chag. Okay, that's the mitzvah of Sukkis, of shafter mayim b'sos, nischuch hamayim. And kadesh is baruch lechem gishmei shana. Imru lefanei b'shana. Malchi is the krona shofros. Malchi is kadesh tamlichunei aleichem. Zichron is kadesh yavo lefanei zichronoseichem litova ubameh b'shofar. Oh. Now, it would seem from this Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking. Am I right? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the declaration of Almighty God. And he's telling us that we should recite Malchi Zichron Shofros on Rosh Hashanah.
You're right, sir.
Ubameh b'shofar means, even according to Ramban, by the way, nobody argues that Bameh b'shofar means that the amira of Zichrono should be accompanied by shofar, or if you want to say it the other way around, that shofar should be accompanied by the amira of Malchi Zichrono shofros. But it's a little bit odd to call it Tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Imru Lefanai Malchios, recite in my presence Malchios, as a Rabbanah. It's a very interesting shtick over here he's pulling. I'm a little bit, reticent or reserved about accepting this premise. You know, there are many statements in Chazal which are, I would say, philosophical or inspirational in their halachic status, in which a derabbanan might be actually placed into the words of HaKadosh Baruch. In other words, I don't know if you can derive any conclusions here about the halachic status of Amiras Malchus, Amiras Zichronos, from the fact that Omar HaKadosh Baruch. Omar HaKadosh Baruch means that would be. I would also wonder, you know, we haven't spoken yet about another Mafteach, which we've touched on zillions of times, but we haven't taken it on head on, the difference between a Chiyuv and a Kiyuv. For example, Reb Chaim was of the opinion that even the Ramban, who holds that tefillah is the Rabbanon, agrees that there's a kiyum d'oraisa. And that's a mind-boggling concept. Again, we've become so used to it, we regurgitate it without even thinking about it. But Reb Chaim is famous for making this breakthrough, and I don't think you can find any clear source before Reb Chaim, that sometimes a mitzvah could be the Rabbanon, but the kiyum a mitzvah is d'oraisa. And my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, applied this over and over and over again. And the breakthrough was Reb Chaim, in the case of tefillah. And Rav Soloveitchik used to use this all the time. I think here would be a great application, in the framework of the Ramban, of this distinction between a chiyuv d'rabbanon and a kiyum d'oraisa. Meaning, imru lefanai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying yes. If you want to do the mitzvah in its optimal way and enhance the mitzvah by adding and injecting an element of kavana and tefillah and so forth to the mitzvah, then in the case of shofar at least, we're going to recite Malchi Zichronos and Shofros. That's going to be a kiyum d'oraisa. Even the Ramban will agree that it's a kiyum d'oraisa. This is not a proof to Rashi. Rashi is telling us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned the mitzvah of shofar, he mandated shofar plus plus Amira. The Ramban is not willing to accept that point, but the Ramban would agree, and I think here we're whittling down the gap, you know, between the two shitos. The Ramban would agree to Rashi that there is a kiyum d'oraisa in Amira's Malchus Zichronos L'Shofros. And Moshe L'mad Dover Domeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say to a person, look, this is the basic requirement of the mitzvah, I mandate this action, but I want you to enhance the mitzvah by introducing other elements. In the case of shofar, let me ask the Ramban the following question. Okay, if the Ramban was sitting here in the room, I would ask him, Mori v'Rabbi, I don't understand. We have halacha that you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of shofar. And not only that, we have another halacha, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of tefillah. Here what we're doing is, we're blowing shofar in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and we're reciting Malchi and Zichronos Shofros in the middle of the shofar. I mean, it's a funny kind of combination. Bishlam, according to Rashi, that Amiras Malchus Zechonus Shofar is mandated within the framework of the mitzvah of Shofar, then these are not foreign elements. Shofar itself is part of Tefillah, because Shofar is the greatest Tefillah that we have, and the Amira of Malchus, etc., is part of that Kiyum Tefillah. It's not a Hefsek. Obviously, if I forgot to take the lulav, and all of a sudden in the middle of my Shmon Esra, I remember, oh, I didn't take the lulav, that would be a hefsek, because there's no relationship between Atilas lulav and Shmon Esra. Why then is Shofar in the middle of Shmon Esra not considered a hefsek? Imagine if today was Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. That can't be. But let's say it was. And I'm in the middle of Shmon Esra, and I have a lulav I haven't taken, and I have a shofar that I haven't blown. What should I do? I blow the shofar, but I don't take the lulav. Why? The answer is because lulav would be a hefsek. So why isn't shofar a hefsek? The answer is because shofar somehow integrates with the tefillah itself, into the fabric of tefillah. That's what, you know, in Chassidus, and here I think Chassidus is very much in a halachic, on mark halachically, shofar is called tefillah b'li milim, you know, b'li temos. It's prayer without words. You know, the famous Hasidic simile of the child, you know, the shepherd boy who starts blowing his whistle, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you make the tefillah out of it. You know, that's what really we do with the shofar. And Rav Soloveitchik many times told us that the raya is that shofar is a key of tefillah. And this one is a great raya. The fact that we're reciting, that we're blowing the shofar in the middle of the fabric of tefillah, and it's not a hefsek, whereas any other mitzvah, you know, Leil Pesach, in the middle of Meiriv. Oh, I forgot to eat matzah. Eat a kezayis matzah in the middle of Shmon Esrei. It would be a hefsek gomor. Then I'm oritz. I mean, maybe he was mekayim in the midst of matzah. I'm not taking it away from him. But I would tell him to daven Shmon Esrei a second time. But not shofar. And I think that would fit in, even according to the Ramban, who maintains that zichronos and so forth is the Rabbanon, but nevertheless the kiyum is doraisa. And the kiyum doraisa is because of the midst of shofar. Ubame b'shofar. It's Malchi Zichronos Yishofros, even according to the Ramban, integrated into shofar, not as a chiyuv, but as a kiyum of tefillah.
But that would only seem to work if you say there were no tefillos to miyushav, because with the tefillos to miyushav, you already yotzu d'oraisa, and then you could say all the rest of the tefillos and everything that was that's in
Shmon Esrei.
Shmon Esrei is all the Rabbanan, and that's the way the Rabbanan would go. That's the way they fix the tefillah for Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
To have
the right. So then you're not accepting my premise that there's a Doraisa Kiyum of shofar together with Malchi Zichron's shofars.
Even after
the Rabban. You understand what I'm saying? So if you accept my premise, then even though you were Makai in the midst of Shofar Doraisa in Tekiyos to Miyushav, nevertheless, there's a Kiyum Doraisa of Shofar with Malchus. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying Imru Lefanoi Malchus.
Why they instituted the Tekiyos before Zichron was according to this, because you're getting a lesser quality Tekiyah. You should have waited until after you did it with Zichron Malchus and Zichron Shofar.
Right.
And then
so I think they discussed that question. I'm trying to remember what the answer is. It doesn't come to me right now. But it has to do with different xeros, I think, you know, of the Romans and so forth and so on. But in any event, here the Gemara says, Omalo Rabbi Akiva, Meino Tokel Malchus, Loma Hu Mazkir. Loma Hu Mazkir, Achmon Omar Idkar. Now there's an interesting Gemara. The Mishnah on Daflam and Beis records a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri about how many brachos we have in the Shmon Esrei of Musaf. And somehow, I don't know how, but there was a Kabbalah that the magic number has to be 9. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Three, and three. Right, 9. Now, offhand, that's a problem, because if you're adding Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros to the structure of Musaf, it should be 10, because you have Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So the answer is we're going to have to integrate one of the, let me put it to you this way, we'll have to integrate one of the brachos with another bracha. We'll have to combine the two together in order to reduce the number from 10 down to 9. So how do we pull this off? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that we should integrate Malchus into into the Kedushas Hayom. And Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says we integrate it into the Kedushas Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva argues against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he says, "Imeno tokel malchios lama hu mazkir," meaning that Rabbi Akiva lays down a premise that if you're going to recite malchios, you're going to have to blow the shofar, and that's impossible according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning that if shofar is allowed to be blown in the middle of Shmon Esrei, it's got to be within the framework of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. It can't be within the framework of the first three brachos. Right? Every Shmon Esrei has Avos, Tchias HaMesim, and Kedushas Hashem. Those three form a unit that cannot be broken up. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it's very strange because you're integrating Malchios into Kedushas Hashem. If that be the case, then you won't be able to blow the shofar. And Rabbi Akiva works with the premise that the recitation of Malchios requires the blowing of shofar. And that's the language of Rabbi Akiva there when he says, "Im'ena tokele Malchios, lama umaskim," meaning you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, are going to have a situation where you're going to recite Malchios within the framework of the first three brachos, Kedushas Hashem, and you're not going to blow the shofar because it's impossible to blow the shofar during Kedushas Hashem. So why did you recite Malchios? Meaning, the fundamental premise is that Malchios and shofar go together as one entity. And what you're doing is you're breaking it up. Because by integrating Zichronos into the Kedushas Hashem, you've made it impossible to integrate shofar and Malchios, because there's no shofar in Kedushas Hashem. He says the following: Tzorch lomer delefi shitas Rashi, harayos me'agmara shapir hein. So all these proofs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mandating that we recite Malchus and integrate it with the shofar, that's all great according to Rashi. Amolashitas Ramban, let's see if he says what I wanted to say. Lashitas, I'm hoping he wasn't, because then you'll say I plagiarized him. Tzarech letaretz, kemoshe tirtzom Ramban, shamira kakter Rabbanon, v'loshen Agmar Rachmona Omar itker eno el mishum sheish asmachtu min haTorah. Okay, he doesn't say what I say. Although I think I could fit my pshat into the Ran. But he's quoting the Ran. The Ran says that there are two types of Darabbanans. This is fascinating, because on many occasions we've spoken about two categories of Darabbanans. Sometimes the Darabbanan creates something brand new, which is called Enlo Iker Min haTorah. For example, at least according to Tosis, is Chulin Shenishkatu Ba'Zorah, according to Reb Shimon, is Elo Iker Min haTorah. Tosis also adds Muktzah to that list of Elo Iker Min haTorah. And then you have a Darabbanan which is Yeshlo Iker Min haTorah, which Tosis classifies Trumas Yerokos or Trumas Shar Peros HaIlon, with the exception of Zeisim HaNovim. So, for example, if you have dates and you mafish truma, that's the Rabbanan, but Tosfos says that's the Rabbanan sheyesh lo ikar min haTorah. And you may recall that we discussed the difference between chometz on the sixth hour, which means, let's say, 11 a.m., as opposed to chometz an hour earlier in the fifth hour. That in the fifth hour, it's considered ein lo ikar min haTorah, whereas in the sixth hour, it's yesh lo ikar min haTorah. I don't know if any of this rings a bell for you. We spoke about mevat l'nisa l'chatchila, and it might depend upon these two types of the Rabban. So the Rabban would say, that's what the Ran is saying, how do I know whether or not this Rabbanon is something like yesh lo ikar min haTorah, meaning it has an upgraded level? And the answer is if there's an asmachta. And this is fascinating, because the question is, what is an asmachta? Some say that an asmachta is nothing more than a memory device. What's it called in fancy English? A mnemonic device? Mnemonic. How do you say it?
Mnemonic.
Mnemonic device. M-N-E. Right. There's an M there, but we don't pronounce it, right?
You have to remember that.
But others say that the fact that it is an asmachta upgrades the status of a derabbanan. So we now have a new categorization of two types of Durabanan. So we have a Durabanan that has no Asmachta, and we have a Durabanan that has an Asmachta. And then Afkamina is going to be, says the Ran, that once you have an Asmachta, then you could say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you on that Durabanan. Because he's not willing to say that it's a philosophical thing, you know. The Rabbanon say, oh, God wants you to do it. You know, none of that stuff. But if there's an Asmachta, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately put it there between the lines, so to speak. You know, there's a space between the lines. Like the Torah is Shachar Gavi Lavan, so it's in the Lavan section. That's called an Asmachta. And in that case, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Va'atzmo is mandating, that's not my phone, some phone is going off here, is mandating that mitzvah. So I would like to push my pshat into this Ran and say that if there's an asmachta, that it means there's a kiyum doraisa. Let's just see if we can move on a little bit, because we really spent the whole morning here studying shofar. Let's talk about kiddush. This is fascinating to me. Now, by way of introduction, I'll tell you what I heard from my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim. He used to say that according to Reb Chaim, Birchas Bori Priya Gofen is an integral part of Kiddush. And how did Reb Chaim know this? Reb Chaim proved it from two halachas. One halacha is that you must have in Kiddush the drinking of the kos. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, I think it's Reish Ayin Aleph, if I remember correctly, where the Shulchan Aruch wants to know what happens if Nishpach Hayayin after Kiddush. And the law is that he's not Yotze. So you see that Shtir, the drinking of the Kos, is integral to the mitzvah of Kiddush. Now again, we're not talking about Zochar Siyam HaShabbos Lekadsho, which the Rambam in Perek Chof Tes says, Zochreyu B'Zchira Shvach Dvorim Al Shabbos, V'Meshabech the Shabbos. That doesn't require Kos Yayin, but the Rabbanan instituted a new mitzvah of Kiddush Al Hayayin. And Reb Chaim was of the opinion that since the Shtia, the drinking of the Yayin, is an integral part of the mitzvah, therefore the bracha on the Shtia, which is Borei Pri Hagafen, is an integral part of Kiddush. Reb Chaim had a second proof. Because what happens if he was drinking Yayin Mibod Yom? It was Friday afternoon. He had nothing better to do than drink wine. And now, it's time for Kiddush. So Reb Chaim quotes the Tur, and the Tur paskins that in such a case he has to make another Bari Priya Gofen. Fret Reb Chaim, why another Bari Priya Gofen? He didn't make a bracha chrona to the Shtiyas HaYayin Mibod Yom. There was no hefsek or anything like that. Why does he need another Birchas Bari Priya Gofen? And this is a kash that everybody asks on the tour, and therefore many Gaonim disagree with the tour. But Reb Chaim said that the tour shita is predicated on the assumption that Bori Priya Gofen in Kiddush is an integral part of the Kiddush itself. And if that be the case, Rabosai, we have another fantastic example of this mafteach, of this derech halimut, because what happens is that although Bori Priya Gofen classically is a Birchas HaMenim and that's it, when it's integrated into the fabric of Kiddush, it becomes a Birchas HaKiddush. And that's why, I'm not telling you Halacha L'maisa, but Reb Chaim would be of the opinion, listen carefully, if I came into your Kiddush and I came a second late and I missed the Bori Priya Gofen, I was not Yotze. Why not?
Correct.
You drank from the Kos. I heard your Kiddush from beginning to end. I didn't miss a single word. Why aren't I Yotze? Says Reb Chaim, because the Bori Priya Gofen is no longer Birchas Hananim. It becomes part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. And here in this article, he doesn't quote Reb Chaim. I don't know why. But he quotes a Rashi in Masechta Erevin, excuse me, and a Rashi on page Mem Dalid in Masechta Brochos. Let's start, if we can, and move backwards with Rashi in Masechta Brachos. I'm always more afraid of Erevin than of Brachos. So in any event, Rashi says in Masechta Brachos, on Daf Mem Aleph, on Beis Sholom es ben Zomim neima omru dvar ma'boy machmas ha-suda betoch ha-suda enam te'unim bracha lo lefneim v'lo lachreim alim ho'il upas Pochrosim. So we have halacha that the Birchas HaMotzi is not chal on the pas, but it's on the Seuda. I think we once discussed this. And therefore, anything that you eat within the framework of the Seuda is included in the Birchas HaMotzi Lechem and Oretz. It's not pshat that most people understand that since I'm eating in the middle of the meal, I don't need a bracha. I do need a bracha. But the bracha of HaMotzi is chal on the entire Seuda. In fact, the Gemari Hachi, Yayin, Nami, Nifterei. Why shouldn't we say that if we have a Birchas Bori Priya Gofen, then that should also be enough to be chal on the entire Seuda, and then I shouldn't need any other brachos on anything that I eat subsequent to the Shtiyas Hayayin. So Gemara says, Shaini Yayin de Goreim Bracha Li Atzmo. Very strange answer in the Gemara. So Rashi says the following. What does it mean, de Goreim Bracha Li Atzmo? Bekama Makomos Hu Ba Umevarchim Olav V'afal Pishalo Hayetzrichim L'Shtiyaso. Now again, Rashi is difficult on many different levels. First of all, what does that mean? We make a bracha bor priya gofen, we don't need the shtia. We never found the birchas hananim that we recite when we don't need to be nana. There won't be any anor that follows the bracha. And secondly, how is that going to explain why the Gemara assumes that yayin is not going to potter up what I eat in the suda? He says, "Eich efsha sheyesh makomos shemavarchem bor priya gofen chiyuv lishtos." Is Yesh Levayer Kavanoso Shebirchas Bor Priyagov Bekiddush Eina Tzricha Shtia? Okay, now here he's getting into very, you know, he's treading thin water over here, because I'm not sure that all the Rishonim and all the Poskim would agree that Kiddush Eina Boy Shtia. But what he means is that the Makadish doesn't have to necessarily drink from the Kos. That's a machlokus between the Gaonim, amongst the Gaonim. But let's say, according to those Gaonim that say that the Makadish doesn't have to drink at all from the kos, and he can give the kos over to someone else, then he made a Bori Priya Gofen without any shtia. Is the answer is, how can you make a Bori Priya Gofen without any shtia? Is Me'achash HaBracha Hi Chelik Min HaKiddush V'lo Mamash Birchas HaNenim? That this bracha could take on an entirely different nature, a different category, becomes a Birchas Hanenim. Is Birchas Bor Priya Gofen L'shitas Rashi Eina Kamo Shar Birchas Hanenim? It has a very unique status within the constellation of Birchas Hanenim. There is a bracha of Bor Priya Gofen that's justified without Hanor, without any shtia. Oh, now we get back to our first question. L'chein Sover Ben Zoma Birchas Hapas Eina Poteris Birchas Hayayin Birchas Hapas Hi Birchas Hanenim V'eina Poteris Yayin Shetzricha Bor Priya Gofen. Wow, okay. This is something that's very, very foreign to me, very new to me. Again, I know that Yechiel, you're going to put up your dukes here, because this is really revolutionary. He's suggesting, again, if we don't accept it, we have to find a better pshat for Rashi, so let's not be such big shots. But he's suggesting a tremendous chiddush, that since Borei Priya Gofen as a bracha was established by Chazal in a separate category that makes it independent of Nanim, therefore that bracha takes on a brand new status even when I'm a varech as a birch sanef.
Right, that's what I'm assuming.
And he's telling us a radical chiddush. He's saying that although he drinks the wine within the greater context of a suda, and therefore the bracha on the suda, which is the birchas hapas of hamotzach menorah, should willy-nilly patter up the yayin. No. He needs a special bracha on the yayin. If you would have woken me up in the middle of the night, I would have said you need a special bracha on the yayin because of the chashivus of drinking yayin. You know, yayin itself is like a new entity. It's not just a classical nigrar basar asuda, but it has a significance unto itself. He's saying no. Has nothing to do with that at all. Has nothing to do with the significance of wine and drinking wine, and is it part of the suda? Is it not part of the suda? Nothing. It has to do with the bracha itself. The bracha itself must be recited. Why? Because this bracha is on a special status. Well, what do you mean it's on a special status? Yeah, it has a special status when it's integrated with kiddush. No, it has a special status umbitum, universally. Whenever I have to make this bracha. So since the shti of yayin requires a bracha, elo what, I have another halacha of a poter. Why? Because the yayin is being drunk within the framework of a suda, therefore the hamotzi lef menorah should cover it. So the answer is, hamotzi lef menorah could be a replacement for all the other brachas. As I said before, it's not pshat that what I eat in the suda doesn't require a bracha. I have a bracha. What bracha do I have? I have the hamotzi lef menorah. So that hamotzi lef menorah attaches itself to whatever I eat in the suda and substitutes for any requirement of any other bracha, with one exception. Bori Priya Gofen. There are no replacements for Bori Priya Gofen. Why? Because Bori Priya Gofen has a chashivas unto itself.
But is that because is it because it has a chashivas unto itself stam? Or is it because in the case of Kiddush it becomes part of Kiddush?
That's what Rashi says. That if it were a stam, then it would be classified as Birchas Hanenim. Every Birchas Hanenim could be substituted by Hamotzi. But this is not a Birchas Hanenim.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to discover here is this a separate din in Bori Priya Gofen?
Yes.
Or is it because since Bori Priya Gofen at times is raised up to being part of Kiddush, therefore it becomes a separate bracha? Now, is it a derivation of because of the halacha by Kiddush?
Yeah.
But it's not stam. Because Bori Priya Gofen.
Right. It's not just magical, you know, we're going to say that Bori Priya Gofen is holy of holies. You know, it has a special status. Yeah. But what we're going to say is that since Bori Priya Gofen was established as a birchas, call it a birchas mitzvah almost, or a birchas kiddush at least, therefore, that bracha itself has its own din.
But the problem,
my nafkamina, it cannot be substituted. What does that mean? It can't be substituted. There's a birchas hamotzi on the suda which functions and serves as a substitution for every single bracha. There's no substitution when it comes to birchas bar.
But if that's the case, if it really is derived from because of a shivas during kiddush, then why is it that bar piya gafin can pater other liquids, other drinks? In other words, if I make a Bori Priya Gofen, I don't have to make a shahakal on orange juice.
Right. I don't know that that's relevant to us, but if it is relevant, it's not a steerer to what he's saying. It's adarab. It further strengthens the position that there's a certain chashivus to Bori Priya Gofen.
Yeah, but that makes it on its own rather than as a...
Correct. Again, I think you're going in a different direction here, and you know, it's worthy of thought, but the direction he's going is that no other bracha, not even a motzi, could substitute for Bori Priya Gofen. You're taking it the other way around. Could Bori Priya Gofen therefore have such chashivas, such significance, that it knocks off other brachas? That again becomes tricky, you know, because hamotzi is in a special category, so far it's a brach on the suda. The question is whether we can view, you know, Hilchas Shtia as a separate kiyum suda, so to speak. There are two categories of suda. There's a category of sudas ochlin, and there's a category of sudas mashkin.
Right, exactly.
In the same way that the hamotzi is a bracha on the suda in ochlin, the Bori Priya Gofen is a bracha on the suda of mashkin.
Except it's not.
I don't know. It's a little bit foreign, but
it's not as strong because the birchas hamazon on ochlin patters up everything.
Right,
but the
case it's only but again, I don't think that you could prove that from this. Again, it's not a kasha. On the contrary, it doesn't. It definitely shows us that Bori Priya Gofen has a very significant status.
Yeah. Does it help explain, you know, what maybe could ask? We've always talked about Bori Priya Gofen being elevated to a brachas mitzvah, so to speak, when it's integrated into kiddush. Yet on the daytime kiddush.
Yeah.
Where the whole Kiddush Derab is just Bori Priya Gofen, you're not integrating into anything, yet it seems to have a status as a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's not just Birchas HaMitzvah, I mean, you are being Mekadosh LeYom. So, here, Birchas HaMitzvah by itself, without integration, is already on an elevated status. So, maybe it's once it has its elevated status, now you can use it even in places like Kiddush of Yom,
without the Kaddish Hashachar.
Correct. In other words, what Yechiel is saying is that once we've integrated Bor Pri HaGofen into the fabric of Kiddush, then maybe Bor Pri HaGofen at certain times could become Kiddush itself.
Right.
And that would be fascinating. That would depend upon the Machlokas Rabbah and the Ravid, whether or not Ein Kiddush Al B'Makom Suda applies to Kiddush by day. The Ravid says there's no such requirement, and many people are somech on that Ravid. The Ram, on the other hand, requires a Makom Suda for Kiddush by day. Right. And in that sense, you need the Ayin. Yeah. You know, all this stuff about, you know, making Kiddush on Schnapps, that's, you know, if you have a Hasidic background, that's fine, you've got a tradition, but it would only make sense according to the Ravid. According to the Rambam, who says that Ein Kiddush Al Makom Suda applies not only by night, but also by day, then you need Yayin to set up that Suda. And I don't think that you could set up a Suda on Schnapps or beer or anything like that. You know, the significance of Chamar Medina is to set up Bracha, but not to set up a Suda. And for that we need either Pas or Yayin. Now, just before I let you go, I'm looking here at this footnote on the bottom, and he has another Rashi in Masech the Brachas on Daf Mem, Al Kulon Im Omar Shahakol Yotza Itmar of Hun Omar Chutz Mina Pas Umina Yayin. Okay, so let's say you made a Shahakol, you would need another Brach according to Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Huna, of Bor Pri HaGofen. So you would not need a bracha on mizonos or anything like that, but you would need a bracha on Bor Pri HaGofen and pas. So, for example, a Sfaradi, who as of last night with Shkia, you know, after Yom Tov was over, would make a Bor Mina mizonos on matzah,
yeah,
because they only make hamotzi right during Pesach. So, in such a case, you made a shahakol, then you could eat the matzah.
Wow.
But anyway, that's not for us now. So what does Rashi say over there? Rashi says, Chutz min hayayin shegoreim brachos harbe liatzmo bekiddush ubavdola ubeberchas chasan. Now again, what he's suggesting is that nothing could substitute for a Bor Pri HaGofen. What does that mean? Number one, we saw that Pas, which substitutes for all other brachas within the framework of Suda, cannot substitute for Bor Pri HaGofen. So when he drinks wine, he's going to have to make a separate bracha. And now the Shahakol, which substitutes for any other bracha, because it's this all-inclusive general bracha, cannot substitute for Bor Pri HaGofen. But the fascinating thing about this Rashi is, we assumed, when we saw the Rashi on Daf Mem Aleph, that Rashi was only referring to Kiddush, because Rashi's language on Daf Mem Aleph was so it's not lav dafki kiddush. That was my mistake. But Rashi explicitly in Masechta Brachos on Daf Mem says kiddush, havdola, and birchas chasanim. Now, in the case of birchas chasanim, I understand Rashi very well, because the bracha of Bor Pri HaGofen is integrated into a series of brachos that are recited on the Suda. And that upgrades the Bor Pri HaGofen to a special status. And insofar as I integrate Bor Pri HaGofen into the other six brachos of Birchas Chasanim, what I end up with is a bracha that takes on a whole new dimension. It's no longer Birchas Hanen. And once again, I don't know who's going to drink from these kosos. We'll give a little to the chassid, we'll give a little to the kala, you know, maybe the mevarich himself will drink, but we're all yotzei the mitzvah of birchas chasanim. Birchas chasanim is an obligation incumbent upon everyone who's there. And yet no one's drinking. I shouldn't say no one, but hardly anyone is drinking. But that's okay, because the birchas Bor Pri HaGofen, and once again, we're going to have a machlokus whether or not the mevarich himself has to drink, like we had in Kiddush. So it could be possible that Mavarach himself is not even going to drink from the cup. In the case of Avdolah, I'm a little bit confused, because Avdolah has nothing to do with Suda.
Right.
I mean, you might want to make Malav Malka, but that's not related to Avdolah. So there, I'm not sure exactly why the Yayin should be anything but a Birchas Hanen. When the Yayin is going to kick off a Suda, and that becomes a Suda which has a special mitzvah element to it, a dimension of, shall we say, Sudas Shabbos, a Sudas Yantav, a Sudas Chas V'Kala. So the case of Kiddush, in the case of Birchas Kasanim, I understand very well why Yayin plays a major role, and it's integrated into the entire structure of this Sudas Mitzvah, together with maybe other brachas as well. But in the case of Avdolah, there I would say it's just a classical case of what we call a koshel bracha. Koshel bracha means that when I recite a bracha, I take out a kos. For example, Birchas Eirusin has nothing to do with the Suda. Back in the day, it took place a full year before the marriage. And yet, we took a kos for Birchas Eirusin. The Rambam says that for Birchas Eirusin, you could even take Chamar Medina, which has nothing to do with Kviyas Suda. So, for example, I don't know, I don't want to get into this, but maybe Coca-Cola, Yesh Tam L'Chayim, maybe that's also Chamar Medina. And I could use it for Birchas Eirusin or for Avdolah. I've seen people, and myself amongst them, who made Avdolah on orange juice.
Yeah.
It should be probably, again, this is on the side, freshly squeezed orange juice. It shouldn't be, you know, 90% water and a little bit of tarkiz, you know. But be that as it may, whatever Chamar Medina is, but it's not something that you kovei a suud on. And there the brach is shakol ni'ev b'dvaro, and even for beer it's shakol ni'ev b'dvaro. I don't think that would give it a status of a birchas hamitzvah. So in the case of Rashi with Havdalah, I have a little bit of a problem why the yayin is any different than any Chamar Medina. For example, many people will make Havdalah on beer. I think on Motzei Pesach it's a little bit problematic because you have to know when you brought back the chametz from the guy. But okay, assuming that
buy some fresh beer is what you do.
What do you say?
You buy fresh beer
from a guy.
Fresh beer from a guy.
Right, from a guy.
Yeah. All right, but you better say Baruch Avadil first. All right, Rabbi. So we'll stop here. So tomorrow we'll Belinetta finish this up, and if you can photocopy that article, we'll get into this concept of a complex halacha and its all its permutations.
Can I ask more basic question that's not related to anything that we've learned except for technicality? Are you changing the format? Are you going to do this in English now or in
That's an excellent question. I